Despite the program being in place for a number of years, the hospitalist program continues to be one that not all of our patients understand. I'm joined today by Dr. Joy Englade. She's a hospitalist and the chief medical officer for the district, and she's here to tell us about her team and explain why a hospitalist is such an advantage to hospital patients. And stress both primary care physicians and hospitalists are key elements to the continuum of care. Hi, I'm Scott Webb, and this podcast is brought to you by Northern Inyo Healthcare District. Doctor, it's so great to have you on. This is the first episode, the pilot episode, so good for you, good for me. Glad to speak with you. As we get rolling here, what is the role of a hospitalist?
It's something that's been around for about 20 years. I've been a hospitalist since I ended residency, and so I think of myself as your inpatient primary care doctor. So, you know, the traditional setup, I guess, in medicine was that you had your doctor, and you saw your doctor in the office, and if you had to get hospitalized, you saw your doctor in the hospital, and if you had to go to the nursing home, you saw that same doctor in the nursing home. That doctor went to multiple different settings, and really, medicine has just gotten a lot more complex. Medicine's gotten busier. And your regular doctor in the outpatient world really doesn't have the time to spend with you when you're in the hospital just because of the fast pace of what happens in the hospital. You know, insurance companies are really interested in creating hospital-based doctors, which we'd call hospitalists, to try to efficiently move patients in and out of the hospital as quickly as possible because it's the most expensive part of healthcare. So the specialty really came from mostly internal medicine, some family practice physicians become hospital-based doctors. And so what we do is we really communicate with your regular primary care doctor, your outpatient doctor, about you when you come in, but you're coming into the hospital usually for one or two reasons. We focus on those reasons. We diagnose it. We try to treat it or set you up on a treatment plan as efficiently as we can. And then we get you out of the hospital so you can heal at home as quickly and efficiently as we can, and then communicate all of that information back to your regular doctor.
Yeah, and doctor, you mentioned regular doctors there, so assuming you mean like primary care physicians, how does that work, the communication between, you know, you, the hospital-based doctors, and those primary care physicians?
It kind of depends on what the patient is coming in for. So oftentimes, you know, now we're all on electronic medical records, and so it's pretty easy to get into a patient's chart, read the notes that the primary care doctor had written about the patient and the problems that they were dealing with on the outpatient side. If the reason for hospitalization is a reason that has never come up before, completely new, then sometimes I'll just call that primary care doctor and talk about it, see if there was anything else that they didn't think was significant enough to put in their outpatient notes, but given the current information, maybe they would have some background for me. Certainly that conversation happens when patients aren't able to give me much history. A lot of times patients are able to really give me a lot of history about the conversations that they've had with their outpatient doctors. And then during the course of treatment in the hospital, depending on what decisions are potentially going to be made, like, you know, we need to put you on a blood thinner. What kind of blood thinner would make the most sense for you? Or gosh, you have a lot of falls. Maybe we shouldn't put you on a blood thinner. I often will call the primary care doctor at that point to kind of discuss with them what their thoughts would be, because they're the ones who are going to have to manage it in the time moving forward.
Yeah, that's great to know that the lines of communication are open, that, you know, you're reaching out to them, they're reaching out to you, and you're working together, and that this patient-specific approach, you know, is kind of working for everybody, especially the patients. I want to have you tell us about your team, maybe brag a little bit.
So we're at Northern Inyo Hospital. We are a small critical access hospital, so, you know, 25 beds. I think that a lot of hospitals in general are struggling with staffing right now. We are really lucky to have a team of 7 hospitalists. And so we work 12-hour shifts, you know, just like nursing, I guess 7A to 7P and then 7P to 7A. And, you know, we have 7 of us who all take turns. We try to work 5 to 7 days in a row if we can to provide that continuity of care for patients who are in the hospital. But we've got a team of internal medicine, board-certified internal medicine physicians, as well as board-certified family practice physicians who have focused in adult hospital medicine. And we're a great cohesive group. You know, we meet regularly, especially with COVID. We talk about what medications are currently recommended, what medications are available to us here, how we want to use them, so that we really try to have a united way of approaching certain disease states, so that it shouldn't really matter if I'm working that shift or one of my partners is working that shift. You're still going to get that same quality of care. You know, we're all a little bit different, but you're still going to get that fairly standard approach to how to treat a disease.
Yeah, so I'm just doing the math here. You got 25 beds and you've got 7 hospital-based doctors. I'm wondering, Joy, is it common for rural hospitals like Northern Inyo to have a hospitalist program like this?
I don't think so. You know, so when I first got here about 8 years ago, we didn't have a hospitalist program. The community doctors would take turns seeing patients in the hospital, admitting patients to the hospital, discharging patients from the hospital, but then they would all go back to their own private practices, and it wasn't kind of this cohesive group. I think we're pretty unique for a hospital of our size to have a dedicated hospitalist program, but I will tell you that in terms of quality of life and happiness of the outpatient doctors and the inpatient doctors, when each of us get to focus on our unique environment, we have a lot more job satisfaction. Medicine has gotten so complex. Honestly, it's hard to keep up with everything in, say, in my case, internal medicine. It's really been, and even some of our board certifications are starting to go toward, okay, do you do outpatient primary care medicine or do you do hospital-based medicine? Because the bodies of knowledge are just growing exponentially every day. And so it is nice to have a bit of a smaller focus in terms of the disease states you need to keep up with, medications you need to keep up with to continue to deliver a really high standard of care.
Yeah, and, you know, we're all patients, of course. So doctors and nurses are patients. And, you know, I think to most of us, we think, well, medicine is medicine, right? Yeah, you go see the doctor, you see another doctor.
Yeah.
Like the specialty now is so amazing. And I think as I hear it, just sort of a comfort for patients because you sort of have this feeling that if I'm seeing this doctor for this condition or this thing that I have, they have some higher level of expertise that maybe my primary wouldn't. Is that a good feeling to have? Is that an appropriate feeling to have?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's good and bad, you know, in terms of being in a small, rural, isolated area. So, you know, not only are we small, but we are also surrounded by mountains, and our closest large tertiary care center is hours away, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours, depending on if you're driving north to Reno or driving south to Southern California area. So a lot of us here need to be kind of a jack of all trades, and we need to know a little about a lot. At the same time, we are able to take this huge, you know, medicine, and we are able to divide it up a little bit into an area of focus, which, yes, I think, you know, brings a lot of comfort to me as a patient as well. There's just different diseases that you typically see that come through the hospital and different ones that, you know, are very common in the outpatient world. And so we get to focus some. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you mentioned earlier about COVID, but let's dig into that just a little bit. What kind of role have you had and your team had and played during the COVID pandemic, which, of course, understandably for all of us, has been some pretty new territory. And as you say, it's hard enough to keep up in medicine when you're a doctor, and then you get this global pandemic that nobody really understands, right? So how have you all done?
Well, probably on par with the rest of the world, just learning every day, not sure what's coming next down the pipeline. I think it's really been interesting, and I don't think we're unique in this, but COVID has been such a huge change in everyone's life. Take the vaccines as an example. The rate of knowledge and change and drug development has skyrocketed, I mean, just exponentially sped up. So, you know, normally we'd hear about new drugs coming out for a disease, I don't know, every couple of months. Now it seems like it's every day. And then the more we learn about things as everyone's doing studies, whether they're smaller studies in the U.S. or global, we then have to sometimes seismically change our practice. Once COVID first came out and was very new, we were using a set of medications that we don't even use anymore. And so it's really been a lot of ongoing communication and really solidifying that partnership with groups. Hey, I heard about this medication. I need to tell everybody in my group about this medication, about the pros and cons. Next week, oh, that medication isn't recommended anymore. Now a different one is. Now we need to kind of get together as a group and kind of talk about this again. And so it has really pulled us together as a group, and it's really improved kind of these lines of communication between our group and then, as we have already talked about, between the outpatient and inpatient world. But no doubt, I mean, we are all tired of it. We all thought we'd be done with it by now. We had our worst COVID spike here last November, December, January. So, you know, November of 2020 and then through January of 21. And our average daily census here for in our inpatient service is 8 to 10, which is really low. But when we had that spike last year, it was 12 all COVID patients. And it's just exhausting. And we all thought the spring and summer, we're all really hopeful. I think that was a global thing. We're all really hopeful that we're kind of coming out of this. And we just had a little spike here a couple of weeks ago where, you know, we had 6 or 7 COVID patients again at a time, you know, back in the hospital. And for the size of our hospital, that's quite significant. And it was one of those feelings of, okay, let's dust off all the policies. Let's remember all the things that we were doing last year, which, again, we're a good team and we pull together and we support each other to get through it. But all of us have this feeling of, ah, not again.
You all pull long shifts. And now when the COVID patients come in, you're back to probably full PPE.
Correct.
And it's exhausting and it's uncomfortable. And you're trying to save lives and trying to understand something that none of us totally understand yet, even smart doctors like yourself. So it's a lot. And speaking of that, as we wrap up here, I know that you're also the chief medical officer for the district. I don't know how you do it, how you pull those shifts. And you're the CMO, but you are the CMO for the district. How do you balance both those roles?
The balance really comes in time. You know, so what hours am I working this job and what hours am I working the other job? But really, being the CMO and being a hospitalist, I think actually really complement each other. I have a much better understanding as a hospitalist of why the hospital system or why administration is making certain decisions, because I've been part of those decisions. And at the same time, being the CMO and kind of sitting in the C-suite and being part of administration, I have such a better understanding of what's troubling the frontline doctors or the frontline staff. And I hope that I can, you know, articulate that and bring that to the administrative level. So yes, the balance is definitely time. I don't think there's enough time in the day. There's not enough hours in the day. They need to add a couple hours so I can get everything done. But the two roles, I think, complement each other really well. And I think bring a perspective to each side that's helpful for everyone.
Yeah, I see what you mean, how one can inform the other, and your work as a CMO is informed by being in the hospital, being in the trenches, dealing with everything and COVID patients and everything else. So it has been such a pleasure to get to know you today. As I mentioned, this is our first podcast with Northern Inyo. So I'm so glad you were the first guest. Seems appropriate. Great job today, Joy, and you stay well.
All right. Thank you. You too.
To contact Northern Inyo Healthcare District, call 760-873-5811. That's NIHD's main line. And thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Northern Inyo Healthcare District. If you found this podcast helpful, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. I'm Scott Webb. Thanks again, and stay well.